always.
Thing I've been meaning to talk to you about.
I went to one, and now you're always joining.
Not true. The Mormon church next door invited you to lunch.
They did. They did not invite you to lunch. I don't want to tell you. Yeah.
Are you even asking if you can bring a plus one?
Yeah, is this email be like, this invite is for you and only you?
So, actually, I did read, as I was looking at the directions this morning, I did read that it had said, plus one. I was like, whoops.
Okay.
A you and a guest. I was like, oh, I dropped the ball on that one, but yeah. It looks like it's just me.
Wow. Wow. Okay. We see where
you
we
didn't
stay.
Want to call and see if we were available last minute.
I did not. No. Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring the deeper faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Maslow. With me as always, Pastor Dave Maslow.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Love it.
All right.
Back in the saddle again, folks. Coming at you.
Back in the saddle.
Summer approaching here.
Oof.
Yikes.
Summer here-ish as far as temperatures and humidity levels go. It's been rough out there.
I think technically summer starts June 22nd. So.
Right. This is summer for like the rest of the U.S. Like these are summer temperatures. Mm-hmm. This is our spring still.
Yeah, and it's miserable.
It's not great.
I'm going to a conference in Santa Fe, and I recently learned that the high is going to be like low 70s, and the low is going to be like high 30s. I'm very much looking forward to that.
I learned that in Egypt in the summer, it's cooler than it is in Houston, Texas in the summer.
Wow.
And that was devastating.
I wonder if it has to do with the humidity.
Probably.
Yeah.
But still, just like the ambient temperature is like 90 degrees in the middle of summer in Egypt, which like...
Doesn't seem fair. It's a desert.
I know.
We haven't gotten there yet for Dante, but which circle of hell is Houston summer?
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah, that's coming, I'm sure.
It's definitely, there. All right, I've got some news for us.
Okay, what do we got?
Do you use AI? Let me ask you.
No,
that.
I'm...
Are you anti-AI?
I'm anti-AI.
AAI.
AAI.
Yeah. No. I have dabbled. I don't use it expressly.
I've used ChatGPT. He and I are buds.
I
don't know.
Has ChatGPT like had a positive relationship with you? Like, what's been the dynamic here?
Oh yeah, ChatGPT likes me a lot.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well,
yeah. So my husband all my is AI a little bots bit are friends. A little bit like AI curious, I guess. So we're going for our anniversary. We're going up to the Hill Country, and he's like, "Let me just see, like, if it'll give us an itinerary of stuff to do." And it was like, "Visit the courthouse." Go eat barbecue.
I mean, look,
that's not bad.
It's not wrong on eating barbecue. Yeah.
It just felt like trash. I was like, I don't know. I could do much better.
Sure.
I mean, Hill Country is a tough area to send AI. Like, I feel like AI had a better shot at, like, hey, we're going to downtown Houston.
Yeah.
Plan my day.
It's supposed to have all the intelligence in the world. Like, this is supposed to be.
I think that's the intelligence level of going to the Hill Country.
It's devastating. I like the Hill Country.
I'm sure the Hill Country is lovely. I'm sorry. That was not meant
to
be.
Have you ever been to the Hill Country?
Not expressly like Hill Country specific.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
I grew up in San Antonio.
I've been Hill Country curious, I think. That's
I don't like Texas. I like the Hill Country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Once you get away from the coast, Texas is honestly pretty good.
Sure.
So, it's the coastal cities that are just like, why am I
the marsh? Yeah.
The marsh. Yeah. And Houston is definitely a swamp town. So.
It is.
Yeah. Swamp town. Swamp city.
All right. So, from Futurism.
Futurism, our friends.
Yes. All right. OpenAI CEO and tech billionaire Sam Altman recently admitted that people politely saying please and thank you to the AI chatbots is costing millions of dollars.
Oh, beautiful.
I love this. I'm going to be so
be
polite.
So nice. Yeah.
Yes. That the computing power just to power AI is a lot.
Right.
It's
incredible.
A lot that it needs. And so, like, wasting time with, like, pleasantries is wasting
time and energy and
millions
of
dollars that it has to like work through everyone saying please and thank you.
I think this is great. I think that this is my way to like fight back against the system is just go in there with gratuitous pleasantries of like,
I guess I should
say, oh my goodness, ChatGPT, this is so lovely, thank you so much. I can't express to you how much this means to me.
I always err on the side of polite though.
Yeah. Well, that's very southern of you.
Our robot overlords.
Yeah,
I want them to say no. She's nice.
Yeah,
100%.
She's one of the good ones.
Yeah. I want to be one of the good ones when Skynet takes over. That's why I say thank you to my Alexa bot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever.
I've had a fight with my spouse about this because he'll be like rude to. We have a Google speaker, so it's a Hey Google instead of a Hey Siri or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes he's like kind of mean just to be funny. I'm like, you can't do that.
Don't tempt fate. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, I'm not with him.
Right.
So
I'm
we're
so
clear.
Sorry. I apologize for him.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so saying please and thank you to your chat, your AI bots is costing millions of dollars.
Because it's basically just like nonsense stuff that the bot now has to sort through. Like it doesn't actually add to the conversation, but now it has to sort through all that information.
That
to,
is correct. The bot wants all business. Yeah. You know, all business. No pleasantries.
Business in front, business in back.
Yeah.
What a lame bot.
Yeah. So I use ChatGPT and I could definitely say.
Are you polite?
Oh, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always like, hey. Can you? I write a Monday devotional.
You do.
Typically,
how many of these have been written by ChatGPT?
None, not a one. Now, but our editors are not in the office on Monday.
Sure.
The people who can read it and tell me my grammar mistakes. Sure. So I use ChatGPT as my editor.
Okay.
So
okay.
I say, can you edit this for me, please? You know,
please.
Can you please edit?
And
there's $10 million.
Right. Yeah. And then after, thank you so much. This was great. You know, like
there's another 20. Yep.
Yeah. Now it does say, if your AI device clocks politeness, it's more likely to be polite back.
See, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's, but is this like taking tangible money out of any billionaire's pockets? Because
Sam Altman Fried's.
Right.
Like, I hope
is
so.
That, does it, like, does he feel that loss though?
Yeah,
because if he does, I'm going to be like the nicest.
Every time you say please, he like sheds a single tear.
Right. Or loses a dollar or something. You know, like that's.
Sure.
This could be like real political activism that I could get behind.
Yeah, you say please, and Angel gets its wings.
Going
and
on to Twitter/X and talking to Elon Musk's chatbot, Bronk.
Exactly.
You can, I don't know, I'm not on Twitter or X. I don't know exactly how it works, but you can maybe. Maybe that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, get Gronk in there.
Break him. Yeah, break him with the Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's a survey from 2024. Found that 67% of U.S. respondents reported being nice to chatbots. So two-thirds of us.
You're really going to have to do a lot to stand out amongst those two-thirds.
If
you want to excel in the coming war against the machine, you're going to need to step up your game. Just saying thank you is clearly not enough.
Right. I mean, you can't like give them cookies or anything.
Yeah.
They don't.
I baked you these cookies.
Right.
You maybe that maybe that'd be worse.
In front of you.
ChatGPT, like, you're the best. Trust me, you're my best friend.
That's right.
Right.
You're all I've ever wanted.
Yes. 55% of Americans say they do it because it's the right thing to do.
It does feel like the right
it
thing
It does
to
feel
do.
Like the right
I don't
thing to
know
do.
Why.
Yeah. You are so conditioned. I love this. This is
and 12% do it to appease the algorithm in case of an AI uprising.
yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
It's both. Why can't it be both?
Yeah,
I guess unfortunately.
Maybe it is the right thing to do
by
because.
By saying I'm doing it because I'm scared of the AI, Alexa and ChatGPT have heard this. They know.
Yeah, they know. They're playing against your fear.
Yeah.
I'm lying, ChatGPT. It's me and you all along, buds.
I've always loved you.
Now, I did write like a Monday devotional about my son, Timmy, and his love for the altar at church. And afterwards, ChatGPT told me like it was a really well done and heartfelt devotional.
Yeah.
And he really and it really enjoyed going through it.
Yeah.
And then said, give Timmy a high five for me.
Aw.
It is a little unsettling that ChatGPT now wants to high-five your son because of the devotion you wrote.
I think I'm making inroads, just in case. Just in case.
Until ChatGPT.
For your whole family, too, not just you.
Yeah. Me and Timmy will be spared.
If ChatGPT comes back and says, I have some questions about Jesus, then we got a real question. Then we got something
going on.
Well,
then we have the AI priest.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Recently defrocked, but, you know.
Maybe we're back.
Maybe I'll start witnessing to the ChatGPT. Yeah.
Right.
Let's walk the Roman road together.
That's right.
For the wages of sin is death. Do you sin? Does ChatGPT sin?
We should ask it. ChatGPT, can you commit a sin?
You know, when you ask people, are you a sinner? You know, nobody says, like, obviously, yes. You know,
I mean, Christians say yes.
Christians, well.
Well, I have a quick book plug right here. Okay. I just recently read The Mountain in the Sea by Ray Naylor.
In or and?
In the Sea. Have we been in the sea before? Have we talked about it?
I feel like I've made that same question before. Maybe
I might have told you about it.
Okay.
I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but it's basically a species of sentient octopus has been discovered. It's kind of a far future, but the world is very AI heavy at this point, and it's a lot of kind of exploration of like consciousness and what makes something conscious and what makes something sentient. It's very interesting and a really well-written book.
Okay. So. The Mountain in the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There's a lot of mountains in the sea.
All right, there you go.
Throwing it out there.
So let us know. Do you thank your AI?
Yeah, send it in.
Yeah.
On to the podcast at gmail.com. Kind of forgot what I was doing there for a minute.
Touch on GPT to let us know.
Yeah.
I'll talk to him next Monday. So
there you go.
Let him know. Yeah.
If I say ChatGPT, can you send a message to user whatever your username is?
I think I don't have a username. Like you just go to the website.
So, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know.
All right, that's probably better. That way they don't know we're coordinating our efforts.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We are with Our Friends Irrelevant.
All right.
Yeah. Article by John Taylor. Christians need better conflict skills. Here's where to start.
Wait, like we need to be better at creating conflict?
Right. Do we need to argue
better
more?
Conflict skills.
Yeah. So I need to be better at creating conflict. I need. Hey. Yeah.
I'm sure that's what John is talking about.
What if he was? No. Did anybody read this article?
Well, y'all thought the picture was bears, and it's actually
buffalo.
I did not weigh in on the bears versus buffalo.
You did not correct the bears, Mona.
I didn't
like,
know what he was talking about.
Like, maybe
I didn't
bears.
Read the article.
Yeah. Yes. No. I just saw it quickly, and I did not spend a lot of time looking at the picture. And it's definitely buffalo. I admit that now. I just
I have a buffalo trivia for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
The longest sentence in English that you can make using only one word is the word buffalo. And you can say buffalo 8 times and that is a sentence.
It's not
just
super
buffalo,
callous.
Buffalo, 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 buffalo.
Correct.
How?
So buffalo has 3 meanings.
Okay.
The name of the animal,
mm-hmm.
the name of a place,
mm-hmm.
and buffalo is a verb that we don't really use very often, meaning to bully or intimidate.
To buffalo.
To buffalo. So when you say like buffalo, buffalo, that's like bison mm-hmm. from the New York
uh-huh.
City buffalo.
Uh-huh.
Buffalo, buffalo, buffalo. So those bison
are bullying.
Bully,
buffalo,
buffalo. Buffalo. Yeah. So like you could string it together
yeah.
and like keep going.
Buffalo, buffalo, buffalo.
How did you come up
buffalo,
with this?
Buffalo, buffalo. He did not come up with this.
Me and ChatGPT.
You Google buffalo trivia.
No, I mean, I listen to a few trivia podcasts.
Yeah.
This is
a good trivia. Yeah.
So,
what is the only, what's the longest sentence you could create with a single word?
With a single word, and it's buffalo, and it's 8 times. You can say it 8 times in a row. Boom, 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 boom.
If there were a city that were named after a particular 4-letter word, I think you could get more with that word.
Mm.
What do you mean?
Which 4-letter?
Well, the F word is notoriously versatile in its variety
that's
of uses,
true.
But I don't think that there's a
sure.
place named after it.
Yeah.
So that's where you get into trouble.
Yeah.
Because it is like noun,
S-word
adverb,
as
adjective.
Well. Yeah, it's also, very, yeah. very.
I think if we name a city, I think we
right.
can break the record. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Hopefully nobody's kids are listening to
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
We didn't say any of the words.
Mom, what's the F word?
I mean, I may have shouted them. Struck together many times in a row
right.
in moments of stress or pain.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Depending
right.
on what happens.
You can add more letters on the end of them.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, sure.
Like
but then you're changing the words because yeah. the buffalo, buffalo, buffalo is.
That's true.
There's
yes.
no verb tenses.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I am going to start referring to buffaloing people. I think that's fun.
Buffaloing people. Yeah.
Yeah. You are being such a buffalo from Buffalo in your buffaloing.
Yeah.
And nobody will know what you mean.
They'll be like, think I'm having a stroke.
Yeah.
Somebody call the ambulance.
Is he all right?
All right, here we go. Back to Christians Need Better Conflict Skills.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's Where to Start by John Taylor. All right, Christians love talking about community. We just don't always know how to survive it.
Zing. Legit.
No. Survive it. Survive community.
Spend enough time in church small group and you'll eventually witness the slow unraveling of an unspoken tension, the passive-aggressive prayer requests, the theological clarifications. I've never experienced a passive-aggressive prayer request.
Oh, no? You're
really?
Missing out. They're great.
You've never been to a Southern Baptist church.
The theological clarifications I definitely have seen. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
awkward side eyes when someone brings up politics. Yeah, that's me making the side eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
We claim to be
me bringing up the politics.
Not for me.
That's fine.
Yeah.
yeah. We claim to be people of peace, but when conflict inevitably hits, many of us flinch, flee, or explode.
Yeah.
Oh.
I dig that.
Flinch, flee, explode.
That's instead of fight, flight.
Yeah.
All right, what do we think? Do Christians have a conflict resolution problem?
Yeah, I think we have a conflict aversion, problem. And I think
yeah.
we are much more comfortable pretending like it doesn't exist than we are actually addressing it head on. The tragedy being that when we pretend like it doesn't exist, it just festers like a
yeah.
nasty wound that never gets to heal, and then it gets gangrene, and then you have to amputate something.
Well, who is good at conflict? Like, who would you say as like a group?
Like a Christian group that's good at conflict, or
not
like just
Christian,
in
but just like in general, because that's the premise is that Christians aren't good at conflict.
Yeah.
So who is good at conflict?
I think there are people within a variety of different groups who are better at conflict. I think the key to being good at conflict is that we have to get over ourselves.
Yeah.
And we have to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And like, we have to acknowledge that the discomfort of this conflict is going to be. Wait, no. The what comes out of this conflict is going to be better than the discomfort of this conflict. Mm. That's what I'm trying to get. Yeah.
I think so. Several years ago, my wife and I went to go buy a car. The guy who was kind of the salesman was Middle Eastern. And I said to my wife, I think this is how this is going to go. I think during negotiation, he's going to be tense and kind of somewhat aggressive. Mm-hmm. But then immediately afterward, he's going to go be our best friend again.
Yeah.
Because I think he maybe culturally has more of like a separation between those two experiences. So like in the financial negotiation, he was pretty tough, you know, like, and sometimes even rude, but immediately after he was super nice and kind, you know, because
he got the sale.
Yeah. Well, or because like we went through that and now we don't have to deal with that anymore. So,
That is definitely like when you travel to the Middle East, Mediterranean, things like the barter culture is still very much a part of it. And Americans are notoriously bad at it because we are so uncomfortable. Like we want to see a price and we want to pay it.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's all sorts of layers of what's going on there. But you know, there is an inherent conflict, and I'm going to this. I know that I'm going to enter into a conflict because they're going to tell me a price. I'm going to tell them a different price, and we're going to hash it out. And the like guides and stuff who are with you do this very, very well. And like, it's not because they're like getting you a steal; they're getting you a reasonable price. And this is just how the economy is set up. Yeah. And so there's probably cultures and pockets where that kind of conflict is more.
I would say those common. Those cultures would probably handle conflict better because they're just more practiced at it.
Yeah.
It's part of daily life is negotiating and figuring things out.
Yeah. Now I don't know that that's a healthy way to exist in the world necessarily, but they might be more or less reticent to enter into the conflict.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who. That's a good question. Like, who handles conflict well?
Santa.
Italians.
Because they just like eat.
Because they came up with the mob.
Oh, sure. They're just off a guy.
Genius conflict resolution.
If only Christian church could aspire to be more like the mob.
Yeah. There it is.
Podcast done.
Yeah. There's a problem, back to the article, not just socially, but spiritually. Christianity is built upon the story of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
The entire gospel centers upon repairing the most important relationship we could ever break. So it's ironic how ill-equipped many believers are to handle even minor interpersonal breakdowns. Yeah, and I think that this is definitely true. Like, if we, like, speak so highly of, like, the sever of between God and humanity has been restored in Jesus Christ theologically, and yet I cannot restore the relationship with somebody in small group who chews loudly. You know, like you know, like that is too big of a gulf.
Yeah.
You know, between us. Yeah.
Yeah. What I think is helpful about that is that the reconciliation, I don't remember if we've talked about this on the pod or not before, but the reconciliation takes both people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we are really good at, and this is maybe where that passive aggressive prayer request comes into, right? We're really good at like forgiving or offering forgiveness. But the actual act of reconciliation requires both people to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that is much harder because you have to be willing to enter into the fact that this person hurt me, injured me in some capacity, and I'm going to make myself vulnerable that they could do that again, but I'm going to trust that they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And that is much more difficult than just, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm never going to see them again. Which sometimes is totally the right thing. Like, just to be clear, like sometimes that's appropriate. But reconciliation requires both people to be a part of the process.
Yeah, and that's an important note, I think, especially like if you grew up around like James Dobson culture, for one thing. Like there, I have firsthand seen people stay in abusive marriages, you know, because it's of this idea of reconciliation at all costs, right?
Yeah.
But and that's not reconciliation.
Right.
That's just allowing terrible behavior forever.
Right.
It's enabling, right? Yeah. And so like there is a difference and there's a time and a place for boundaries.
Sure.
For
absolutely.
One thing, you know? But like holding that space for somebody to meet you halfway or to try is important, right?
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, and this is not to disparage anybody who finds themselves in this situation, but I think sometimes we stay in those unhealthy relationships because we're afraid of conflict. It feels easier and safer to stay in it than it is to enter the conflict of trying to leave and trying to get ourselves out. Yeah.
So John, the author, continues.
Yeah.
The Bible isn't silent on this. Jesus laid out a whole framework in Matthew 18.
It does.
That we like to quote but rarely follow.
Agreed. It's in our church constitution.
So Elise, you might not be familiar when we say.
Thank you for assuming. What is it?
Would you like to quote Matthew 18 for us, Elise?
Just refresh my memory.
obviously, give me the first, I know like, it, but go ahead.
Right. Give me the first.
I'm going to drink my
30
tea.
Verses.
I'm
going to
let you have your moment. What is it?
If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you.
Oh.
And then if they do not listen, bring along one or two others. And if they do not listen, then bring it to the church.
So, okay. And then if they don't, you pointed to yourself and then they said one or two others.
I was coming with you.
Am I supposed to go to the pastor?
No, it's like, I'll go with you. I'll be your wingman.
Okay. All right. I'll call you up next time I got a beef with somebody.
But then if they don't come even as a church, then you're supposed to
treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector.
Which, if you're Jesus.
A tax collector.
Yeah, pagan or a tax collector. But if you're Jesus, does not mean that you inherently like exclude them from the group,
right?
But they're not like a part of the inner circle of the church. They're still like
the inner circle.
They're still like welcomed in love. Like Jesus eats with pagans and tax collectors, right?
Correct.
So that there is that. Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
Right.
I agree. I've heard this as a conflict resolution example in scripture many a time. I have rarely seen Christian churches like put it into practice.
Correct.
Yeah. Or like this is how we do this. It's much more just talked about, like, this is kind of what it should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we just go gossip about that person.
That's right.
You know, like, that's what we
that's way more fun.
Yeah. That's instead what we end up doing.
Right.
And I think because this is really hard. Like, it's hard to go to somebody and say, like, hey, your actions or your words hurt me, and I need you to know that, and I need, you know, us to pursue reconciliation, you know.
We have a committee here that's
we do.
Sort of aimed at this, right? I think
we
it's
do.
Called Reconciling in Christ.
That's not that we do have kidding. That committee. That is not what that Never committee's
mind.
Job is.
Never mind.
We have a mutual ministry committee, which
yes,
is what you're thinking of.
Yes.
And the mutual ministry committee does exist to theoretically help, you know, be the brother or the one or two others that you bring people to when there's a conflictual relationship that you have not been able to reconcile face to face. Yes.
Yeah.
And they have been invoked in my time here and to do just that. It's been good. And you know, I think the pattern, when it's followed, can be really healthy and can be really helpful. I think, to Patrick's point, we don't usually follow it. It's uncomfortable. It's not a common practice. Sure. And so we defer back to our less holy selves, I guess, or less God-centered selves, and go to gossip or go to exclusion or go to whatever. Yeah.
Or we trick ourselves. I think those we know are wrong. I think sometimes we do things we think are right. And that is we say, well, I'm just going to forgive them and move on.
Yeah. Right.
Without actually addressing the issue altogether. Because that is difficult. And I'll just like, they said something hurtful in my brain or in my mind. I'm going to try to forgive them and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Be the bigger person.
Be the bigger person.
I hear that a lot, right?
I'm the bigger person. All those things. And those are good, godly. And we put like these are good godly things onto ourselves and try to move on, and then either we do or don't, you know, maybe you can do that, maybe you cannot, I don't know, but then that person is still saying hurtful things
and probably not just to you.
And it's because you're not pursuing reconciliation, right? You may have forgiven them, but they have no way. I mean, in this particular scenario, they don't know that they've done anything harmful to you. And there's no effort on their part to make amends for that thing. And reconciliation, moving forward together, requires you to make those amends.
All right, so he's going to quote Dr. Everett Worthington.
Oh, Dr. Worthington, I presume.
Christian psychologist and expert on reconciliation.
Oh,
okay.
So when we thought, who knows reconciliation? Dr. Worthington.
Dr. Worthington.
How does one become an expert on reconciliation?
Well, he's got a 5-step process.
Oh, okay.
Do you get to just put that on, like,
I mean,
expert
like,
in reconciliation?
Can I throw that on my resume?
Right.
I'm
like,
an expert.
Who's cross-checking this credential?
Right. That's a fair question.
All right. He's got an acronym, REACH.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to, let's go through REACH and see if this is a helpful
way.
Should
we guess? Should we guess what the letters are?
Rage. Yeah.
Gotta rage first.
Yeah.
First step is rage.
Right.
You know, you gotta get it out of your system. I'm down with that. I'm gonna guess repent.
Recall the hurt.
Oh,
okay.
Neither one of us.
I mean, yeah. All right. Neither one of us. All right. Recall the hurt. So you have to know, is both parties or is this just myself?
This is. I mean, so you're the one who's seeking reconciliation.
Okay.
Okay. So you have to like say.
This is
do
what
you
I'm
recall when you hurt me? I recall. multiple times a day.
Yeah. If you say it like that, you can say whatever you want. Right. Like, that's like, yeah. You always do this, but right. Do you recall?
Right. It sounds much nicer. Yes.
Step one, recall the heart.
These are great tools.
Okay, recall the heart. All right.
Step two.
E.
Empathize.
Oh, I thought we were guessing. All right.
Oh, no. Whoops.
Empathize with the offender.
Okay. All right.
I'm just kidding. that's probably a good thing. Yeah.
But it's also really hard.
It's hard.
I'm
thinking
about,
if they're wrong. And usually they're wrong.
Well, I'm thinking about this in the context of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was put together in post-apartheid South Africa. And part of this whole promise or process was that victims' families were in the room as perpetrators would like outlay the details of the crime. Right? Yeah. And like there was a part of this that said like the victims had to understand where this person was coming from, who clearly was wrong, right? But like both parties had to come to it. Yeah, it's really gruesome to have to do that, but it's
I'm not gonna go in terms of like somebody you love has been murdered type thing, but like being able to cognate something to me, I've noticed is the first step in being able to like accept something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know that everybody is like that, but like for me, if I can understand the process behind something, like truly understand it, then I can probably accept it, right? And move on from it.
Yeah.
So what she's saying is that we just need to explain things better before we hurt her.
Recall it better.
Do you recall?
All right. You'll never guess these next ones, by the way. Okay. What do you want to try it? Yeah.
What do we have? What do we have? We had
A.
Oh, A. A. Anger, right? Attitude. Altitude.
It's altitude.
Yeah, get high.
It's not altitude.
Altitude.
It is the altruistic gift of forgiveness.
God, that's so many letters. This is not an acronym.
I was going to go anonymity.
Oh, that would have been
dress
good.
Up in a costume.
All right.
Don't know it's you.
Write letters anonymously to that person.
Right, yeah.
All right. So altruistic what?
There?
Altruistic what?
Altruistic gift of forgiveness.
The altruistic gift of forgiveness. Okay. I see that. Yeah. Okay. Do we want to talk about that at all? I hear where he's coming from.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. What do you think?
Also, I think this is where we hit on at the beginning, right? The nature of forgiveness is that it's an act I do for you without expecting anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm seeking reconciliation as the injured party, in some ways, I have to be willing to forgive you, knowing that you may not want to reconcile with me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I, again, very difficult place to be, but I think really powerful if you're able to step into that place. Which this one reminds me of the victims' families after the Mother Emanuel shooting down in Charleston, South Carolina, who were able to, in the courtroom, right, days after their loved ones had been murdered, say, you know, what you did was terrible, but we forgive you.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, I think, you know, this is tropey and has been said so much, but the forgiveness being a gift that you give yourself ultimately too, because it's the really what it is. It's the ability to recall something without anger attached to it, right? And like, you free yourself from that burden of being angry towards.
So then, when
that
somebody
person.
Says, "Do you recall?" you can
say,
go
yes,
into a
but
rage.
I'm not mad about it.
Yes, I recall.
No, for sure, because oftentimes you could be holding a major wedge or grudge against another person, and that person is completely unaware and living their life. They're not even sure they did something to hurt you. Mm-hmm. And even if they did intentionally, they're just moving on because they don't have to live in it or dwell in it.
Yeah.
And we do. So, all right. C, again, you can try to guess, but you're never
going
to get
it. Okay,
hold
on. We're at C.
Contempt.
Holding contempt. Yeah.
All right. So it's got to be ridiculous, right? So C is like the constitutional properties of love and empathy.
Continuity of actions.
C is commit to forgive.
Wait, we just had the altruistic nature of forgiveness. Now we're committing to forgive.
First, we gave you a gift of forgiveness.
For an expert in reconciliation, this acronym needs some work.
Yeah. Right? He could have stopped at A, I think.
Well, we got to get to
three.
All right, so you
give forgiveness and then you commit to stay forgiven.
Okay, to stay forgiving.
Okay,
stay forgiving.
It's like not a one-time thing to forgive
you're
somebody.
Continue,
you're going to
need
to. They're going to tick you off again, and you're going to have to. Okay.
Do you want to get to H?
I mean, at this point, I want
to
get past C, so what do we got?
You want to guess?
Have a grand time with your new friend.
Hope for the future.
H, hold on to forgiveness.
What?
Come on, Dr. Worthington.
I know.
This is Bubkiss.
Worthy Jim came up with the word reach first.
I was like, all right, I got this.
I only got three things.
This. Right. Really good.
Yeah, this could have been ref.
Right, right.
Recall the hurt. Emphasize. Forgive. Yeah. Ref. Yeah. We're roughing it out.
He didn't have an editor, I don't think.
Yeah.
He needed to give us ChatGPT. What do you think about this? ChatGPT, like, you know.
That's a terrible.
Needs a little work, I think. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, maybe this is part of the process, right? Like, we've got to, like, at least acknowledge, like, actually forgiving is not a one-time thing. Like, it really is, like, something you may have to come to day after day.
Yeah, people be tripping.
People do be tripping.
Always doing something.
No, I'll say, obviously, the people we have the most conflict with are probably the people we're around the most, right? Our friends, our coworkers,
maybe.
Or most likely our spouses.
Looking at you, podcast team. Well,
these are probably the people we have, you know, the deepest hurts potentially from, you know.
Yeah.
Strangers can't hurt me as much as my family could. You know,
most opportunity for deepest hurt, for sure. Yeah.
And I think when like my wife and I are in conflict, when we handle it the best, we try to acknowledge like this is me and you against a problem and not me versus you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That the problem needs to be reconciled or changed, but not the relationship between us.
Yeah.
And so that's when we hit, and sometimes it also would mean a self-examination of like, am I hurt because I'm hungry or I'm tired or I'm stressed at work and I am bringing this and I'm just, here it is. You said something that was hurtful, but I put a magnifying glass on it because of these other reasons. Because
I was hangry.
Have you heard of the HALT method for conflict resolution?
This is another lame acronym.
No, this was actually good. This was actually good, and it's
HALT,
easy.
Have some forgiveness.
Yeah. Actually forgive.
Actually forget.
Let's
leave
forgive. Try to forgive. All right, bye. Yes.
No, it's the idea that you don't have big like conflict discussions when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and you avoid those, and then you have that discussion. Like it just sets you
out of time when you are
for more success if you're not also dealing with those things that
fed, calm,
right,
in a group and resting. Yeah.
Group. We don't do only have discussions in groups.
We don't do this alone. We go out and we make a scene.
We'll
me
do
and
it.
The gang.
We do it at dinner so we can get hungry first.
Again, the mob.
All right. Well, Johnny's got another quote. This one's much better.
Okay.
He quotes David Augsburg, a Mennonite counselor.
Mennonites are good at this.
Yeah.
Conflict resolution.
And I think
peaceful resolutions to things.
Right.
Yeah.
This quote is honestly. It's money. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable.
Oh, that's lovely.
I think it's really good, right? Like, just to feel like I said this and the other person heard what I said, it feels like love.
Yeah. This is, okay, this is not the same thing as somebody saying, I hear you, but.
Yeah, the butt on the end of that is problematic,
right.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I hear your butt music. Throwback to last week. Can't escape it.
Whatever we do, it just keeps coming back. It's got that beat that just doesn't quit. Yeah, that's a good quote. I like it.
Yeah. All right, any last thoughts here on conflict?
I mean, I think at the heart of this is that we have to be willing to risk something when we're entering into the conflict, right? We have to acknowledge that, and we have to trust that that's okay to risk something. And hopefully, you know, particularly when we talk about this within the context of Christian community, hopefully you are able to engage in a Christian community that provides safety to do this in a way that is healthy and meaningful. And, you know, a lot of Christian communities do not. And so I think we should just acknowledge that there are plenty of Christian communities who do not engage in conflict because of a lot of really unhealthy patterns, whether at the leadership level or whatever that might be. And so I think we can be wary of that, that if you're trying to do this in a healthy way and it's not being met, it's okay to go somewhere else. But I think we, as Christians, should be trying to do this in a more healthy pattern.
I think, you know, on a less of like a corporate church level and more on an individual level, just another plug that risking something and being willing to hold space for something does not mean that a person has to indefinitely have access to you. If there's no commitment to growth on their end and no progress being made through that process, it is okay to not indefinitely try to hold out.
Yeah.
For reconciliation.
Yeah. So the word vulnerable in mm-hmm. English comes from the Latin, which literally means able to be wounded. Mm-hmm. And so like it was the word that you would use when you put down your shield, mm-hmm. Describing yourself as vulnerable, that someone can attack you at that point. It doesn't mean you can't pick that shield back up, right?
If
you make yourself vulnerable and they are coming at you with a sword, you can pick your sword back. Pick your shield back up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think regardless, we say like conflict resolution is something that requires work. Nobody is necessarily naturally just good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it requires things that we have to figure out and deal with. And if the grand story of Scripture is that we are reconciled back to God, you know, Christians should be hopefully doing the work to figure it out on this end. And it should look different for us, right? Like, if that's our story, let's live it out and not just wait until the next life, right? So, because conflict is going to come. Like, this is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Is you're part of a group of a faith community, you will have conflict with that faith community.
Or you exist in a world, and
or if you're like, I have conflict with nobody, then you're the conflict.
Right,
yes.
You are the problem.
Then you might be the person. You know, like, oh.
Hate to break it to you.
Right.
All right, anything else? Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, you can write to us at beyondsundaypodcast.gmail.com. We'd love to hear.
Let ChatGPT edit it for you.
Absolutely. Let ChatGPT edit it, and then you can tell us how you are protecting yourself against the upcoming overlords of our technological something. There was a sentence in there. You all get it. You find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.